Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin T, Teamwork, Part 2.
With Joel and Lisa Schmidt.
Episode 80.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith. Forget what lies behind and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi, Deacon Tom. This is Mark Narabas calling from Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio. And I have some news about some things that can help supplement those Catholic vitamins that you and Dee provide in your podcast. I'd like to tell you about our lineup for the summer conferences at Franciscan University's campus here in Steubenville, Ohio. On June 3rd through the 5th, we're offering the Catholic Men's Conference entitled Sharpened on the Rock, Trained for Battle. We're excited to offer men the tools, inspiration, teaching and skills that they need to be strong leaders and servants of the Lord for their families and in their churches and their various ministries today. Deacon Larry Oney from Louisiana is going to headline our speakers, and he's a real dynamic deacon, just like yourself, who preaches the gospel in a manly kind of way. And I think the men would be real interested in that. Our Catholic Charismatic Conference will be June 10th through the 12th, and it will feature three tracks that we're offering for people who are new to the charismatic gifts or have never experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They can take advantage of the track for seekers. And then the Evangelistic Apologetic track will be for those who want to learn more about understanding the church's teaching on the renewal. And then we have a track for leaders who want more formation and look for ways they can serve their groups more effectively. Of course, we have our annual Priest, Deacons, and Seminarians conference from June 13th to the 17th. And you like to participate in that, Deacon Tom. And we're going to have Father Clement Machado, S-O-L-T, who will be the retreat master for that week. The St. John Bosco Conference for Religious Educators will be held July 20th through 24th. There's many general session talks, 30 workshops, and then depending on areas of specialization, there'll be workshops and breakout sessions for those who are serving in adult catechesis, sacramental preparation, family catechesis, youth ministry, scripture, and liturgy. And we do offer certification. Our final two conferences in the summer will be the Applied Biblical Studies Conference with Dr. Scott Hahn and many wonderful scripture scholars from around the country. That'll be July 27th through the 29th. And we conclude with our very popular Defending the Faith Conference, July 29th through the 31st, featuring Father Mitch Pacwa, host of EWTN, and Donald Cardinal World, the Cardinal Archbishop from Washington, D.C., will address that conference along with Scott and Kimberly Hahn, Jeff Cavins, and Steve Ray. So I hope some of your listeners will take advantage of some of the vitamins that we offer here at Franciscan University in Steubenville and join us this summer. They can register by going to www.franciscanconferences.com or call the 800 number, 800-437-8368. Thanks, Tom, and I hope to see you soon. God bless.
Hello, Dee.
Hi, Tom.
It's us at Catholic Vitamins, not us at Catholic Vitamins. Not like that's a mailing address or an email.
Whatever.
Sure. Well, it's...
we're back.
It's the Deke and the Dee, and we are back thanks to Mark Narabas, the Executive Director of Christian Outreach for Franciscan University Summer Conferences.
We could only wish that everybody who hears about that would be able to go to them. They are awesome.
Just absolutely great. Dee has actually been to one of the closing talks and evenings of prayer and praise at the Priest and Deacon Conference one year.
I did that a few years ago.
Yeah, it was really great. Well, this gives us an opportunity. We want to say hi to everybody first, and glad you're with us. Gives us an opportunity for me to announce something that we're really quite pleased with, and that is that we have reached agreement with Franciscan University referencing our capability to use the conferences, the speakers from the conferences at Franciscan University, and play segments of their talks on Catholic Vitamins. So we'll be doing that from time to time, and this will give you a chance to hear how awesome the speakers are at the different conferences. So thank you to Mark Nierbus and the Vice President of, I think it's Outreach, I'm not sure, but the Vice President, Michael Hernan at Franciscan, for letting us take on this awesome opportunity. So
great.
We'll be doing that from time to time. Dee, it's you and I, and we're here with part two of Teamwork.
Yes.
What have you got to say about...
Oh, God, the first part was, I can't wait to hear the rest.
Yeah.
I mean, I've already heard it, but I can't wait for everybody else to hear the rest of Joel and Lisa's story.
Yeah. The Schmitz were with us last week. I've got a summary, which I'll do in a couple of minutes in case you weren't with us in the previous show. We do invite you to go back because it is worthwhile. I want to say something, and that is what I remembered, Dee, is that we were in the latter part of the talk, the interview with Joel and Lisa, and the United Parcel Service, the UPS driver, came. The doorbell rang. Holly, our dog, went crazy, and I couldn't get the recording machine turned off. So we're going to have to try to put a patch on that. I'm not sure how much of that will come out once we get it edited.
That's called Welcome to Real Life.
I know, but
we're real life people in a real life situation. Our podcast studio happens to be in our home.
So that was kind of fun. We won't worry about it, but if I can get it cleaned up a bit so it doesn't go on real long. Have you got some...
Did you do anything exciting this week?
Well, you know, I was on the altar all week. I preached on Wednesday and Friday. I was a part of benediction and adoration on Friday, and we went to soup supper. I mean, that's not exciting, but part of our week.
Oh, the soup suppers are good. We had like 9 crock pots this time. That was a couple more than we had last week.
Right. I had a seafood cheese soup that was really good.
Yeah.
Could have used a little more spice, but it was good.
It was. Earlier in the week.
Yes.
I went hiking, as I usually do with my hiking groups. Oh, did we do an awesome hike last week.
You were anxious to go.
Oh, I was, because this is one that I have been hearing about, and I've had a couple opportunities over the past couple years, and I haven't been able to go each time they were planning to go. So this time I wasn't going to miss it. It was 7 miles round trip. And we ended up at a beautiful, beautiful waterfall. And I took some pictures. Maybe we can put one picture on our Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page.
If you are a relatively new listener to Catholic Vitamins, we have a Facebook page which is called Friends of Catholic Vitamins. We would invite you to go over and sign up. Not that it's necessary to look at the pictures, but we would appreciate a sort of a like click or whatever you can do to... join our group, and you get special messages and sometimes special opportunities to guess on the Catholic Vitamin of the next week or new guests coming on the show.
That's right. You do. There is a little bit of bonus there if you're a member because you send messages out to all the members.
I do. So Dee may be posting, probably will post a picture from her hike on Tuesday.
I'll try to find a good one.
One of the men in the parish who was in the sacristy described you as a good hiker, Dee.
Well, that's nice. That's a nice compliment coming from the men.
He also asked me if I had dried you off after you fell in the creek. I'm sorry.
That wasn't on this hike. That was a couple weeks ago.
Dee came home still sort of wet or damp from falling in the creek.
I chewed him out for ratting on me.
All right. You know we're human, I guess, huh?
Yes.
All right, well, our guests are Joel and Lisa Schmidt, and I'll bring you a summary in just a few moments of what we covered in the previous show, but we also would like you to know that Lisa has a great singing voice.
Oh, she does.
And her husband prepared a couple short segments of her singing, and I thought we would listen to one of those before we do the summary of last week's show.
Enjoy.
Lovely voice is the lovely Lisa Schmidt. Joel and Lisa, a beautiful married couple, are our guests for Catholic Vitamin T Teamwork Part 2. Before I do a little summary of last week's show, Part 1, I'd just like you to know that our regular contributors, Peggy Bowes with her Fitness for Faith segment, Teresa Doyle Nelson with her Saint segment, and Justin Stroh with his new evangelization segment will return next week. Last week, when we met Joel and Lisa, they were in college working on Joel was working on a research project for his doctorate. They were both single, and someone set the two of them up. Somebody from the parish gave Lisa the contact information, and bold Lisa, I never thought she was this way, she made outreach to Joel, and they set up a date, their first one, and apparently it went pretty well. Joel said that by his third date after that with Lisa, he came home and told his roommate that he thought that he had met the girl that he was going to marry. Someplace in the first few dates, when they began to talk about a few serious things, "Lisa, you brave lady, you said, 'How do I know you're a man of God if you don't go to church?' Yikes." Well, that's how the conversation started, and Joel admitted that it probably was kind of testy for a half an hour or so as they worked their way through that subject. Joel said, "Fine, fine, I'll go to church with you then." And that began his journey into the Catholic faith. They met a deacon who helped Joel get started with RCIA. He became a good mentor and friend to both of them. And Joel eventually came into the Catholic faith in the Easter Vigil. Lisa was his sponsor, and it was just great to hear the story of their early time together. So let's now rejoin the two of them as we continue with Teamwork Part 2. Part, you're, you know, helping to lead us into the main focus of today's program, teamwork. You have a demonstrated track record of teamwork in forging a relationship, forging a common faith. You mentioned the diaconate. I was going to come to that, excuse me, in a moment. But I know that you've been involved in Christ Renews Your Parish. And Lisa has previously mentioned to me in email, Teams of Our Lady. And I wonder if you could say a little bit about those programs you've been involved in.
Teams of Our Lady is an international movement, and the focus is on couples and, of course, asking Our Lady to intercede for us to become stronger couples, to become the example of a holy family. And what it is we get together with a handful of other couples once a month, and we share our homes. So one month we might host it, and if we host it in our home, we would provide the main meal. And then the other couples will bring one other part of the meal. So it might be the vegetable or the bread or the wine or the dessert, what have you. And then throughout the year, we work around, we study, we talk about a common book. Sometimes it can, or I should say a book, it could be one of the Pope's letters. It could be a marriage book. It could be a book that we're reading now, which is Matthew Kelly's Rediscovering Catholicism. But the focus is that we study and read together as first as a couple in our home unit, and then we reach out to the other couples and try to strengthen all of our marriages collectively. And then we do have a spiritual director who meets with us, and he is a Monsignor here in the Diocese of Des Moines. He's a retired priest, and we are so lucky because he was an intern at the Vatican when Vatican II was being discussed and deliberated and written, and then ultimately, I'm not sure what the word is, passed or what's the word? implemented.
Council.
Yeah, so he is just brings such a wealth of knowledge, and he is very intimately knowledgeable with theology of the body, which, of course, is such a critical area of study for relationships and for men and women. So it's just been an awesome opportunity for us to grow as a couple, but then to also have five other couples who are growing in their faith and in their relationship alongside us. And we're all of various ages. There's some who are grandparents, and there are some who are just starting to have children. And together, we all help each other out.
Sounds like a great team-building effort among the couples to try and generally improve and help each other in their faith walk and their marriage commitment. Sounds great.
Yes, and then there are several different groups that are teams throughout the Diocese of Des Moines. So annually, all the various teams will get together and have kind of a marriage retreat, and usually that's around Valentine's Day. And then we'll also have a picnic in the summer, and so in a mass. So it's nice to be able then to not only have this intimate experience with the smaller unit of our team, but then to see all these other teams and what they've been able to accomplish and how they've grown together as a smaller unit as well.
We'll try to find information on Teams of Our Lady, and we'll put a link to whatever we find on our webpage. And Joel, how about a few words about Christ Renews His Parish?
Christ Renews His Parish is a weekend retreat format that has a weekly six-month follow-up formation period. And so if the energy that you build around your faith on the retreat weekend really has the opportunity to take root in your heart and grow and develop and impact your life, I think in a much more permanent way because of the follow-up component. When Lisa and I moved from Ames down to Des Moines after we were finished with graduate school and we were both working, we started out in a parish that's really quite large, and because we were disconnected from our former spiritual community largely, we were really looking for a way to immerse ourselves in our new parish and develop that sense of community that we had had at our previous parish where we had met. And there was a Christ Renews His Parish retreat going on, and our daughter had just been born 6 months prior. We signed up for it immediately. And so my weekend was first, and then hers was after. And so each of us had to basically parent the whole weekend, with a newborn, largely, while the other one was off on retreat. And that was a bit of an undertaking, since neither one of us had really been separate from the family before since we had to see. So it was certainly that, I guess, support teamwork component to that. And what a gift to be able to do that at the same time. A lot of couples don't. One will go through, and the next will go through a year later. Usually the wife goes first and then tries to shove her husband through the process, and he sort of goes grudgingly, and then at the end is glad he did. But But I recommend to anyone that I know that they go through it at the same time, because the opportunity to make the sacrifice for the other to continue that six-month formation process after, I think was really formative for both of us. Mine was on Sunday nights, Lisa was on Monday nights, and so she would come home from work, and I would have to take over so that she could go off and do this. Or on Sundays, she would give up the last of our weekend on a Sunday evening and to take care of our daughter so that I could go off and do that and get back late at night. But the opportunity to share that sacrifice at the same time and then share the things that we were developing throughout that process, I think really strengthened us as a, strengthened our marriage and strengthened our family as a unit.
And it reminds me, our parish is St. Francis of Assisi Catholic in West Des Moines, Iowa. And, of course, the famous saying by St. Francis, or when he heard the Lord speak to him and he heard the Lord say, "Francis, rebuild my church," I think that's a very appropriate phrase to think about with Christ Renews His Parish. Is it's helping people to rebuild their parishes, parish by parish, across the country or across the world and wherever these retreats are located. Because the goal then, or what happens is you become on fire for Christ, you become on fire for your parish. You have intimately gotten to know a group of women or men over the course of 6 months who've become your sisters and your brothers in Christ. And then, you commit yourself to the church. You commit by saying, "I'm going to pray and discern about doing this activity or this volunteer area, or I feel I'm really being called to start, this mom's group or this rosary group or whatever it may be." And so you have groups of people then who are actively finding ways to get immersed and involved within the parish to rebuild it after their formation is done.
Watching our clock, I just want to say that I found out that you are involved in a new idea for ministry. Talk about teamwork. And you're involved with couples who've experienced miscarriage. Where did the idea come from, and how far along are you?
Well, it really came out of our common experience with miscarriages. We have a 2.5-year-old daughter, Lucy, who is not the first pregnancy we've had. We had a miscarriage prior to her, which was a very difficult experience for us and the couple. With our first to have that happen with our first pregnancy, I think was really difficult. Men and women, I think, really approach that differently. For a woman, her fertility is so much a part of her identity, and for a man, that's a little hard to understand. You can be as sensitive as anybody, but that's an experience that you just simply, as a man, can't have, and you really have to, you have to will yourself, I think, through that in order to always be there for your wife and try to understand what's going on in her heart, because you can never have that experience. I think you have to have the same commitment that you would have if the pregnancy was actually successful and you actually had the child. You just have to redirect your energy toward it. And from the conversation that I had, a lot of dads often aren't so plugged into the pregnancy until their wife starts showing, until they start feeling the kicking, and there's something visually or sensory for them to latch onto. And before that, it seems to be a little bit theoretical. And so oftentimes in early term miscarriages, there's a profound sense of loss for the wife, where the husband really has no context to appreciate that. And so when we were assigned to develop a service project for the diaconate, that was something I think that was really moving in our hearts, both of us for that matter.
How far along are you in the program, Lisa?
In the diaconate or with the ministry?
With the ministry for miscarriage.
It's kind of a slow-moving beast, it's so large. We're early on. We don't have anything tangible to say, you know, come Monday night, this is what we're doing with this program. We do have several leads, and I think pretty soon we're going to be able to unveil probably a prayer group or a type of support group for couples who've experienced early term miscarriages. And we're going to work with a woman who has a great deal of experience. She's a perinatal nurse at one of our local hospitals, and just has a wealth of experience. And she's a very faithful Catholic to boot. So we just, between her schedule and our schedule, we just need to get together and get it in the calendar. But I would say in the next couple of months we'll be rolling out some sort of a support group. What that looks like, we're not quite sure yet.
Okay, I have two sidebars that are related to this and their personal experience. The first is, in our family, we have a daughter who is our number one daughter, Barbara. And as I've said in a homily one time, if there was ever a member of our family that wanted to be a mother, wanted to be married and raise children, if you took a poll, everybody would say it would be Barbara. And Barbara lost a child early. The child was born and died within a few moments of birth. And it was very early in the pregnancy, so it was a form of miscarriage. I know that she grieved for a long, long time, and she's since had other children. But that daughter that was born, Maggie, has a burial place, and it's still someone we talk about once in a while. So I think there's real need for the ministry that you've talked about. And I want to relate that to the second experience, which is from my diaconate work. Just shortly before we left Colorado to come to Arizona, on a Saturday morning, the phone rang about 6 o'clock in the morning. And it was a young couple your age that we had done work with in the parish, and we participated in young married couple group. And this couple had experienced an overnight early birth miscarriage. And they called and asked me to come over and help because the pastor was out of town. And I felt once I got there, other than prayers, which of course have their value, but what else to do, what else to say, what else to recommend? And it was something never covered in the diaconate program. So I would have liked to have had some participation in a program like this that would have taught me some about how to speak to parents who've experienced miscarriage.
Or at least known about a program like you are starting, this ministry you're starting. You know, if that something like that would have been available that we could have directed them to, that would have been great at the time.
And that's one of the things that we're finding, kind of some of our background research that we've been doing. We've been just posing the questions to couples that we know have had miscarriages, and you know, we have a trusting relationship, so we know that we could call on them to help them develop our ideas. And many of them said there was just nobody who knew what to say. My family was just trying to, you know, put icing on our sorrows and end up saying the wrong things. And in some cases, women who, you know, were not given the remains of their child and did not have opportunity to have a proper burial, and so there was no closure for them, we're finding out that many couples just want to have some sort of a mass, like a fetal memorial mass to honor that life, to help provide closure. And so these are all things that are going to go into, you know, our potential ministry, one step at a time, of course, because this is, like you said, it's rather large, and a lot of people have been encouraging us because of the very reason you said. They just don't know where to turn in that time of need for that couple. So we're excited, and we're certainly praying for the Holy Spirit to keep putting people into our lives to help move this forward, and He is doing it. It's amazing the people that we're meeting, and the connections that are happening right now, and I'm just really excited. It's a taxing effort in terms of time and conversations that you have to have with people, but it's definitely one that we feel we're being called to, and so we're joyfully obedient to that call.
Our guests today on Catholic Vitamins are Joel and Lisa Schmidt, and our vitamin for today is teamwork, and we're ready to move towards wrap-up.
Well, we've talked about many areas of teamwork the two of you are involved in, but one that I'm excited to talk about with you, and Tom is too, is Joel, I'll direct this question to you. You've been in the Deacon Formation Program, we hear. How long has it been, and how did this call come about?
We're in the first year of the Diaconate Program, so we're still in the experiency phase. And the call has been one, I guess, that has been, I don't know if I say it's been slowly developing, but it really ignited in my heart while I was at RCIA, I mean, even before Lisa and I were married. The deacon with whom I had to do my catch-up sessions for starting RCIA late, I think as an intellectual, you know, I'm a biochemist, so I'm very much an intellectual. He and I just processed things very similarly. I really appreciated his approach to the faith, and he just sort of took me on, and we developed a very solid relationship, and one day he said to me, I don't say this to everyone. I've only said this twice, but I've been right both times. I'd see you being a deacon one day. And rather than being particularly shocking, I just sort of nodded my head. I wasn't surprised to hear that because I think it had been something that had been stirring in my heart up until that point. And I went home and I told Lisa, and I don't think she was particularly surprised either. And it's been something that's been ruminating between the two of us that we've been praying about. And the timing this time just seemed to be right. Some things had stabilized in our lives. We weren't graduate students anymore. We were settled into our new parish down in the Des Moines area. And because the program is 4 years in total, the opportunity to apply to the program only comes around once every 4 years. And we just felt that now was the right time. Lisa had been at her holy hour praying for the Holy Spirit to put people into our lives that would help direct us to His will for us. And I happened to be helping with benediction after a Knights of Columbus meeting that night, which I had never done before. And the other two men who were helping with benediction happened to be the two deacon candidates from my parish who I did not know at all. And we ended up in this conversation, and they advised me about how to go about the application process. It was a little late to still get in on the class, but they advised me to put in the application and just see what happened. And so they sort of helped direct me in that process, and the first time we applied, we went through all the interviews and the psychological testing and the whole process, and we were accepted into it. And the Holy Spirit hasn't stopped inviting us back so far, so we keep showing up.
Well, I can remember through our 4 years of formation back in Denver, every Saturday morning that we would get in the car very, very early, often before the sun was up, and driving to a long day. But it was the most wonderful experience in our lives, and I was blessed that Dee, talk about teamwork, was able to go to every class and every spiritual formation weekend with me. Have you been able to do that, Lisa?
Yes. What a commitment, Dee. Congratulations on doing that. What a fabulous commitment and call to obedience that you served for your husband. That's amazing. We do the same. We are required to go once a weekend to Conception Seminary College in Conception, Missouri, which is about 2.5 hours from Des Moines. And we go on a Friday night, and we stay through Sunday. And I agree, it's an amazing opportunity to get away, to live amongst the monks at the abbey, at the seminary. There's an abbey associated with the college. It's an amazing opportunity. I feel blessed to be around such holy people, both in our community, our diaconate community, but also at college. And I certainly am going to try to make sure I have every weekend, retreat weekend that I can be at as well.
Deacon Tom, as I'm sure you're aware, the requirements from diocese to diocese are not the same. And the Des Moines Diocese requires Lisa to be there for everything that I'm at. So we knew going into this process that there was going to be a very hefty commitment from Lisa. So, I mean, if we're talking about teamwork, you know, it's really the sacrifice that Lisa is making to be at all these classes, all of these retreat weekends that really enables my commitment to this.
Well, we know you have a lot of resources around you, but as I've smilingly said to Lisa in email, we're ready to jump in the car and come babysit a couple weekends.
Come on over. We'll take you.
There's a room ready for you.
I'm seeing pictures of Lucy. She's so adorable.
Thank you. Thanks. She's a joyful little kid, and lots of people love to watch her, so that tells us that she's a good kid, that she is well-behaved and fun to be around.
I haven't had anybody quit on us yet.
Yeah.
Well, our topic has been teamwork, and while we did spend a good deal of time talking about the early years and you coming together, teamwork seems to be something that is working for you in your approach to marriage, in your approach to family, your approach to faith, obviously, and in your approach to ministry and evangelizing others. What a great example you are from the distance that we watch. We also see you on the internet and know that you are around a lot of Catholic people on the internet. Any closing comments on teamwork, struggles, arguments, successes?
Well,
I'm looking at Lisa. Go ahead.
Me
sure,
too. Yeah.
I mean, you know, of course we have our challenges, and we just got off of a stressful weekend where, you know, I certainly didn't behave well. I was, some anxieties got the best of me, and thinking about all of things coming down the pipeline in the next several weeks, especially with Lent, and Lent seems, you know, people who work for parishes or who are very involved with parishes have a lot going on during the season of Lent. And so I just, you know, being at the diaconate, it is a commitment, and you do have to make choices, and sometimes those choices don't necessarily resonate well with people around you. And I think I let that get to the best of me over the weekend. And so, you know, Joel and I just had to sit down and kind of share some hard thoughts with each other, which he did with me, and they sunk in, and, you know, to pray about it and try to be better and not get so anxious about the commitments in our lives, and try to just take one day at a time and obey the call one day at a time.
I don't want to put
Lisa's being a little bit hard on herself, because I have a pretty good track record of not always being the best of who I can be, too. You know, I had lunch with a friend of mine the other day. It's interesting, we're talking about teamwork and having this in my rear view. He'd asked me, we're about the same age, we're, you know, in our early 40s, and he asked me, have you had a lot of people talk to you about marital infidelity? Because I've had 3 or 4 really good friends in the last year ask me about cheating on their spouses. I had no frame of reference to even, you know, be in the conversation, because, I mean, he's a very faithful Catholic and told everyone about, absolutely not. This is a stupid idea. You're going to do more damage to your marriage and yourself personally and your salvation than you can ever imagine.
Hold on just a sec.
But
we ended up
in this conversation about how, even in the struggles of our marriages, there's nowhere else that we'd want to be. The idea of entertaining, you know, developing a relationship outside of our marriage, or just leaving our marriages during any of the struggles that we've had, and, you know, we've both had our fair struggles, just doesn't make any sense, you know, logically, emotionally, spiritually. I mean, I don't know why you would get married if that wasn't something that was, you know, that was rooted deeply in your heart.
So teamwork is our topic for the day. Teamwork is something that has been critical. I want to make an observation as we move towards a close. I don't want to put Joel and Lisa on the spot. I'll just speak for Tom and Dee. The Deacon Formation Program where we were had me committing to do the Liturgy of the Hours morning and evenings. And Dee joined right in, and we started doing this every evening. And so through most of our 4 years of formation and then all of my years as a deacon, we pray together in the evening. And no matter how pleasant, fun, challenging, or problematic the day has been, to sort of end our day in prayer, often praying for our marriage or praying for our love to be strengthened, has been a powerful tool for us and for me, I think. And so I offer that as a closing comment on the subject of teamwork, and would hope that it also works for you too.
Amen.
Yeah, it's beautiful. We hope so too.
All right. Our guests today, with the dog barking, because was that UPS, dear?
It was a UPS guy.
So, yeah. Oh, I'm proud of our black lab. She hasn't said a peep. She's laying right here beside me, which is very rare. So
I was going to try to edit that out, but we'll maybe leave it in and let people smile about it.
I know. We're just normal people, you know, podcasting out of our house. These things happen.
The earlier pioneers in this, was it Greg and Jennifer?
Yes.
Called it a clawfus. Which was a closet and an office.
Right.
And that's almost what we're in here, but newly painted and new carpeting. So we're kind of glad. Well, bless you both. Thank you for agreeing to come on Catholic Vitamins. We ran long. I hope we didn't abuse your good graces by holding you so long, but thank you for coming on the show.
Not in the least. We're happy to do it, and it's great to have the opportunity to talk to the both of you.
Thank you.
God bless. We'll be praying for you.
Thank you. And we'll pray for you and your ministry as well.
I just so much enjoyed our time with Joel and Lisa. Thank you, Dee, for being a team member and for your teamwork in helping with the interview.
I actually listened to Lisa's singing.
Well,
she's
we're going to
beautiful voice.
She really does. I would love to be at a mass when she was the cantor, or
if we could have her at our church.
Don't get us started. Well, thank you, Joel and Lisa. You're a blessing in our lives, and I mean that truly. We have been and will be in prayer for you, as we said at the close of our interview time. And he's on his way to becoming a deacon, God willing. Speaking of deacon, dear, I had an email. This came from Deacon Steve, and this is what Deacon Steve said. Deacon Tom, thanks for your kind words. I'm still commuting to Phoenix every other weekend to see the rest of my family. Hence, I'm a very part-time deacon at my parish in Sun City. If we remain in Yuma long-term, I will apply for faculties in the Diocese of Tucson. Wishing you and Dee a blessed Lent, signed Deacon Steve. And apparently he was listening to us pretty regularly as he did his commuting. And that's just what Catholic podcasting is all about, being with you when you exercise or drive or do dishes. Or...
All right. And if he does get faculties in the Diocese of Tucson, he'll be in our diocese.
We'll be able to see him at our when we go to the retreats right. and get-togethers.
We had an email from Eve, our friend Eve Mercer. She said, just wanted to say how much I appreciate my Catholic friends today, especially you and Dee with your testimony, witness, and not to mention podcasts. Needing some inspiration today, and you two fit the bill. Love you both.
Well, thank you so much, Eve. You know that you and your family, your large family, are in our hearts in a special way, and we've prayed for you and hope to meet you someday for real.
And Joe Marino wrote that he was in Anaheim for the Religious Ed Congress, and he was looking forward to Daniel Rowe's concert. Was it last Sunday or this Sunday?
I think it's this Sunday, yeah. We're putting this together on Saturday, St. Joseph's feast day.
Yeah, he said, thanks for introducing her to all of us on your Catholic Vitamins podcast.
Well, Joe, we'd like to hear back from you, and if you get to hear her in concert, give us a call on our feedback number, which is 206-350-3789, and let us know what it was like. Well, dear, we're coming towards a wrap.
Oh, we got to buy a Scrabble for next time.
Do we?
Well.
All right. It's six letters. Begins with U. I'm taking your job away.
I guess you are.
It ends with T. Now, just six letters in this vitamin. Kind of an unusual one. And U and T, front and back. And it's six letters.
And people can guess by calling our feedback line at 206-350-3789. Or you can email us. CatholicVitamins@gmail.com.
Just before you do the Vita Minute there to end our show, I just want to remind people that we're going to be trying to go over to our friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page, and Dee is going to try to get her picture up on there. So you might take a look at that. And while you're there, please join as one of our friends.
Please. Are we ready to go?
I think so.
All right. Last thing, our Vita Minute for today. And this comes along with, actually, we're doing this on the Solemnity of St. Joseph.
We are, yep.
Go to St. Joseph, the young, strong, silent man. His silence, once entered into, heals all it touches. St. Joseph is the mender of broken toys, furniture, houses, as well as broken hearts, souls, bodies, minds, and families.
That comes from your little meditation calendar from Madonna House, usually thoughts from Catherine Doherty or some of her associates. We are blessed to have you all in our lives. We remember your intentions often when we do evening prayer together. We talked about that with Joel and Lisa. It is helpful to our relationship, isn't it, to be able to, no matter what our day has been like, no matter how separated we've been, to try to spend a few moments, like 15 minutes, in prayer together, and then remember the intentions that come on our mind and heart.
I would like to ask for a couple prayer requests among our listeners, because the more who's praying, the better it is.
All right.
I have a cousin, the first cousin, who was just diagnosed with esophageal cancer.
Hmm.
And our daughter's mother-in-law is really struggling with a rare blood disorder.
All right, so there you have it. Please join in prayer, even if what you do is just stop for a second and just say, Jesus, the great physician, help in healing, either acceptance or physically. I think that's it for this show. Thanks once again to Joel and Lisa Schmidt. And I guess that's it.
I think so.
Bye.
Bye.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins. Fruit of your